have a missionary letter tonight that we want to read. It is from the Hansons, our missionaries to Chile. And it's always good to hear from our missionaries. This letter, he begins by saying, Chile has closed its borders from the rest of the world on April 5th to all foreign nationals without regular residence status while restricting departures from Chile. As of April 23rd, about 1 million cases of COVID are crippling the country in daily house lockdowns and nighttime curfews. The country remains in a state of emergency through June 2021. Here in Magallanes, we have regressed to phase two, open for free movement during the week, but we must stay in the house during the weekend. A group of political figures uses the COVID cases and sanitary measures to restrict and complicate the movement of individuals, groups, and the trucking industry. Our supply chain passes through a few border crossings in Argentina and Chile. The governments have imposed impossible COVID testing on the truckers, and now they have gone on strike. Our store shelves are depleted of produce and essentials. The regional leaders threaten our commune to regress further to phase one, where union and community leaders become very outspoken. Every week we wait to hear how life shall be lived out in the view of COVID and socialist political system. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. 1 Timothy 3:1. While in phase three, I was able to start Bible studies on Sunday afternoon, which I enjoyed for a season, and then the season turned into phase two. I then had to move the Bible studies to Friday night. We added a second day for lessons due to house arrest on the weekends. We have two young men that I am working with, Atilio and now Benjamin. Benjamin called me from a social media site that I maintain to get the gospel out every week. When I meet him at his house, he had many questions for me. He is a saved Pentecostal. I meet his grandmother, and she is the pastor of her husband's church. Because of her age, she wants to give the office over to Benjamin's mother, or he wants to give the office over to Benjamin's mother. I was not going to waste his time or mine, and immediately we cut to the subject of women pastors. He is still coming to the house for Bible studies. I am still on good terms with his grandma and mom. Only time will tell. There is never a dull moment serving the Lord. While talking to another young man, isn't it funny how everyone is younger than me? I'm not saying that I'm old, but after witnessing to him, he explained to me that he was very special. I told him that he said he was very spiritual. I told him that his spirituality was that of a king. So he allowed me to show him King Agrippa, and Christian Rodriguez was almost saved. Hopefully he will be open again to hearing more of the gospel. Lisa and I are still moving through the subdivisions, leaving gospel tracts in the mailboxes. We continue working on the downtown street corners with my new banners, our backpacks full of tracts that empty within the hour. Our Venezuelan friends, Marlon and his wife Carolina, continue to come over for dinner. They love the Lord and have a great interest in doctrine and spiritual matters, making the fellowship fun. Marlon and his wife both work to have busy schedules. We hope in the Lord's timing for another Bible study. Lisa will be finishing up the semester for a two-month break. She will continue in Spanish language and has been helping me with the ministry. Please pray for our two boys, Hayden and Titus, back at home in the States. They are doing well in maintaining their trades while continuing school. Thank you, Derek and Lisa Hansen. So continue to pray for them. Sounds like things aren't too good over in Chile these days. But there's a lot of places overseas that aren't doing as well as we are. And so we need to pray for our missionaries a lot. Hayden and his other son, Titus. Hayden and Titus, yes. T-I-T-U-S, Titus. So let's make sure we pray for them and just continue to pray for all of our missionaries. I know that the Hansards are in, they finally made it back into the country. It's a good thing they made it when they did, because it sounds like they wouldn't make it in there now. So just continue to pray for all of them. All right, open your Bibles tonight to two different places. Get Job chapter 32.
Which one?
Job chapter 32. And then also get Hebrews chapter 13. Job chapter 32 and Hebrews chapter 13. I was asked tonight if I was going to give you the results of the penny contest. I think I'm going to wait on that one. You know, you just, I will tell you that I had a lot of fun counting. A lot of pennies this time. Even though we had a lot of them were boxed and already rolled, there were still a lot of pennies. Okay. Job 32, Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, by the way, if you're watching this and you want to know the penny contest, you got to come to the church to find out, because I'm going to turn off the mic this coming Sunday. So just letting you know. Job 32, Hebrews 13. All right. Job chapter 32, look if you would at verse 4. It says, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. All right, now over in Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 8. It's a verse that all of us probably know. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Great verse. Now, in our text in Job, a young man by the name of Elihu is speaking. And as we all know, Job was being tested or sifted by the devil, I guess would be better terms. Because the devil was trying to make Job curse God. Now, you read all that in the beginning of Job. We know that Job had killed all of Job's family, or the devil had killed all of Job's family, for the exception of Job's wife. He had taken all that Job had, and Job was sitting there with sores all over him, really going through some very, very tough times. In fact, I'm not sure that there's anybody in the Bible who went through a worse time than Job did overall. But Job was sitting there, he was going through a tough time, and about that time, three of his so-called friends show up. And when they come there, they didn't come there to console him. Okay, you know, you ever know that sometimes when people are going through things, sometimes it's just better not to say anything and just be there for them. But that's not what these three so-called friends did. These three men that came up, they started giving their opinions on why they thought Job was having such a hard time. And what these men were basically saying, in fact, you can read it, it's pretty much the first 32 chapters are pretty much about them giving their opinions about why Job was going through all these things. And what these men were basically saying was that Job had brought these problems upon himself by doing something wrong before God, and they claimed that what he was going through was really God's chastisement, which really was not true. I mean, you read right at the very beginning of it, it was the devil who came up and said that, you know, you've put a hedge about Job and he'll curse you, God, if that hedge is removed. And so the Lord allowed the devil to test Job. That's what the whole thing was about. And so these men had it wrong. Now, again, these men were given their opinions here, and they were telling Job the things that he obviously had done wrong to bring all this upon himself. And about that time, a fourth man comes in on the scene, and that man's name is Elihu. And even though Elihu was a young man compared to the other three who were speaking to Job, as you read his words, you can tell that he had great wisdom and he also had great respect. It says in verse 4, he said, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were older than he. You see, Elihu figured that because these three men were older than he was, that they should be wiser than he is. And he basically said, I wasn't going to say anything, being as how I was in the company of people who were older and wiser than myself, and so I decided not to say anything. Now, I admit that I will say that I was raised that way. I was raised that when grown-ups were speaking, I was not to say anything. I mean, that's the way I was raised. In fact, the whole saying of, you know, that kids be silent and out of sight while the grown-ups are speaking, that was very much that way in our household. And when it comes to wisdom in life circumstances, I think that the older somebody gets, the more that they should have more experience. I mean, let's face it. One of the reasons that we were told as children not to necessarily speak when grown-ups are talking, they encourage us more to listen. Just listen. Why? Because especially when you have people that are much older in age, when they're talking, they've been around the corner a few times. They know what's going on. They have experience in life, and certainly when it comes to life circumstances, age does come with wisdom. But that is not always the case when it comes to spiritual things. In our text here, these three men were giving their counsel to Job concerning spiritual things, but they had it all wrong. And so in verse 7, it says, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Elihu was angry, even though these men had been trying to give an answer for why Job was going through these tough times, they really didn't give an answer at all, aside from just blaming Job. And so Elihu gets angry with these three men, and he says in verse 6, he says, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. He is saying, I listened to what you three had to say, because I'm young, and you three are older, but I was afraid to give my opinion, because now I've got something to say. I've listened to you, I've listened to what you had to say, and now I've got something to say. And then he said something in verse 7 that's very interesting. He said in verse 7, he said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. He's saying that when it comes to spiritual things, the older one gets, the more he should know. But that was not the case with these three men who were talking to Job. These three men should have been wiser, but they were not. In all their years and days, they had not learned much of anything, really. And so Elihu had heard enough of what these men had to say to Job and decided it was time to give his opinion. And he said, days should speak, and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. And then he goes on in the dialogue to give his full opinion. And then after he gets done, then it's Job and the Lord that do the talking after that. And so when he says days should speak and multitudes of years should teach wisdom, what he was basically saying that every day we live as Christians, every day that we live as Christians should teach us something. We should learn something. We should learn something not only when it comes to our everyday physical lives, but we should learn something spiritual. In other words, we should be growing every single day. And every single day that we're alive as a Christian, as a born-again believer, we should become more wise and more wise and more wise as far as what the Scriptures have to say and what the Lord has to say to us. Now, as you read the book of Job, you'll find out that the Job has a lot to say about days and time. In fact, of all the books in the Bible that you read, I don't know that you're going to find any book that talks more about days and time and years than the book of Job does. I'll give you some examples. In Job 8:9, it says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are as shadow. Job 10:20 says, are not my days few? Flip, if you would, over to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. I want to show you a passage in Job chapter 14 that really brings it home for every one of us. It tells us a great truth in Job chapter 14. In Job chapter 14, look if you would at verse 5. It says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Talking about a bounds that everybody cannot pass and how the days are determined. It's teaching us that from the day we're born, there is a predetermined day and a predetermined hour for each one of us that we cannot live past. I don't know what that day and hour is for you, and you don't know what it is for me. But God knows right now the hour of our death. How many of you understand that? He knows that. He knows when we're going to die. And really, if you think about it, that time there was when we were born, the Lord put a certain amount of bounds there that once we reach that hour and day, we cannot live past that. He determined what that will be. Now, that's what the Lord put there. But then again, we can live a certain way or do certain things that can make it less, but we can never live longer than that. In other words, once you put those bounds there, that's it. You can't go past it. But certainly you could die earlier than what God had planned. For instance, if we do things that we ought not do, or there are certain things that we do, maybe living unhealthy or eating unhealthy, that could shorten our lives. Obviously, if we do wicked things, that could say lead to, you know, if a person today he goes out and he does something really wicked, he gets the death penalty. Obviously, that's going to shorten his days. That's the reason Proverbs 10:27 says the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Okay, but no one can live past the time that God has determined that we are going to live. So those people today that say, well, you know, it's up to the doctors. The doctors will, you know, the doctors say that you've got this long to live. You know, I understand where they're coming from a scientific point of view, but the doctors really don't know anything. Now, I'm not saying don't go to a doctor if you're sick, okay? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this, is when doctors start saying, you've only got this long to live, I don't put a whole lot of stake into that. Why? Because God gets the final determination on that. Amen? He's the one that decides when you die, and he's the one that decides when you live, okay? And so, but that's what the book of Job talks about. It talks about days. But it's not just in the book of Job that you see this talk about days. You also see it through the rest of the Bible as well. For example, in Psalm 39:4, it says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. In other words, he's talking there, let me know just, you know, that I'm not going to live forever. You know, one of the things when I was very young, when I was a teenager, like all teenagers, I think, I thought I had an S on my chest. I thought I was going to live forever. But you know, once you start getting up in your 50s and 60s and on up, you start to realize that, hey, you know what? The end is within sight. Amen? And so it's different, okay? But it talks about there in Psalm 39:4, the measure of my days. In Psalm 90:12, it says, so teach us the number or to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, numbering our days. So there's much in the Bible that has to do with days, our days on this earth. But I want to go back to what Elihu said. Notice that he said that days should speak to us. That days should speak to us. Now, if days are going to speak to us, doesn't it make sense that we should give an ear to hear what those days have to say? If they're going to do the speaking, we need to listen to what they have to say. So I want to consider 3 days in each one of our lives that we all live, and I want us to listen tonight to what they have to say to us. And the first day I want you to listen to tonight is the day that is behind us, yesterday. Yesterday. What does yesterday have to say to us? Well, I think that yesterday has to say to us these words, learn from me. Learn from me. If you'll notice there in our opening text in Job chapter 32, look at verse 7. It says, I said they should speak and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. We should learn from them. And yesterday is saying, learn from me. Now, turn back, if you would, to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Yesterday is saying, learn from me. In Job chapter 8, look, if you would, at verse 9. It says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing. You know, that's a good life verse right there. just because you lived yesterday, you don't know anything really. Amen? None of us do. We think we do. And you say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? Well, because a lot of times that we'll ask God for something, and when he doesn't answer our prayers, we get upset about it. Or when he doesn't answer prayers the way we think he should answer our prayers, we get upset about it. But if you think about it, God knows today and God knows tomorrow. And we know yesterday, but really we don't know anything. We know what happened yesterday, but do you know what's going to happen this afternoon? No. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. But God does. And that's the reason whenever God answers prayer, if he says no, we ought to rejoice in that. Because God knows what tomorrow brings. He knows what today's going to bring. And it says there in Job 8:9, it says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. When we think about yesterday, we're thinking about a day that we just came through. And whether it was good or bad, it's a day that we'll never see again, and we cannot relive it. But one thing we can do with yesterday is that is we can learn from it. And certainly one thing we learn from it is that we can learn from our mistakes of yesterday. If we're honest with ourselves, we would admit and confess that we've all made some mistakes in the past. And we may not like to acknowledge that, but as we look back at our yesterdays, I think that we think about the many mistakes that we've made, and we should learn from that. We should learn from that. No doubt we've all made financial mistakes in the past. And those financial mistakes have taught us the seriousness of how we should manage the things that we have and the type of stewards that we should be with the Lord's stuff. We've also made mistakes within our homes and our families. We can look back over the some troubles we've had in our home, and many times we wish we hadn't have done some of the things that we've done. But you know, we can't take those things back, but we can learn from those mistakes and avoid doing them again. Also, many of us have made some physical mistakes. Many today are reaping physically what they sowed in the past. I know that my wife, when she was a young teenager, she used to get on a four-wheeler where she grew up, and she was kind of crazy on that four-wheeler. In fact, when I first started, just right after we got married, she took me on a four-wheeler, and I had never again. She's nuts. I mean, she'd go jumping and everything else. Well, you know, doing that in her entire young life, now in older age, now she's starting to pay for that. She didn't realize that until she went into the doctor and they took an x-ray, and the doctor was like, boy, you've had a rough time. Yeah, that's what when she was young, that's what she did. And a lot of people today are reaping some of the things that they sowed earlier in life when it comes to their physical mistakes they made. We've also all made some spiritual mistakes in the past. Too many people today are regretting not getting saved at an earlier age. There are many people today who are in hell at this very moment regretting not getting saved. You know, people have their excuses for not getting saved. Excuses such as, I have plenty of time, or too many hypocrites in the church, or I'm not able to live it, or you know, religion's not for me. They come up with all these different excuses, but excuses result only in regret. And I guarantee you there are people today in hell that are regretting never getting saved, regretting putting it off to the next day. You know, I keep on thinking about over there with King Agrippa that even the Hansons were talking about in their letter, how it says that thou almost convinced me, or you have almost talked me into being a Christian. You almost talked me into it. You almost convinced me to be a Christian. I wonder how many people today are saying, but you know what, I should have taken up the Lord on the offer at that very moment rather than putting it off. They've used excuses. But you know, it's not just lost people who may use excuses. There are many Christians today who regret not serving God and not going to church when they had the opportunity. They used excuses like, I don't have time, or let somebody else do it. It's not my burden. I don't know how to serve the Lord. I'm afraid that I'll fail and not succeed if I serve the Lord. And then they grow older, and then they get to the point where they wish that they could go back and serve the Lord, and it's too late. But you know, an excuse is really nothing more than an alibi if you think about it. Listen, if you have the opportunity and if you're able to come to church today, you should be thankful that you're able to come to church. And if you know what, if you have the opportunity to serve, you need to take advantage of that opportunity today and start serving, because there's going to come a time that you're going to say, I wish I'd have served the Lord more. If I had a nickel for every time that somebody said that to me, Pastor, I wish I had served the Lord more, I'd have a lot of nickels. Probably as many as back there in that bucket right now, okay? A lot of nickels. There are people today that are saying, I wish I had done more for the Lord when I had the opportunity. You have the opportunity today. But excuses. People like to make excuses. It's a sad thing to watch Christians who never take time for God, because the day will come when they will regret not serving God more in their lives. The tragedy of yesterday is that you can't live yesterday over. We cannot change anything about yesterday, and yesterday is permanent history. Permanent history. But wouldn't it be nice if you could go back and change a few things? I mean, I think about that all the time. I'll tell you this, I wonder if King David, if he had it to do all over, I wonder if he'd probably go off to war during times that kings were supposed to go off to war and not have stayed home that day to where he could look down upon Bathsheba. I bet he would. I bet he'd say, you know, if I had that to do over, I'd do it way different. I don't know, maybe Abraham, if he had to do over, maybe he would say, you know what, if I had to do over, I wouldn't get anywhere near Hagar. Or how about Adam and Eve? If they had to do over, suppose they'd eat that fruit? Problem is, there are no do-overs, folks. No do-overs. What's done is done. We need to listen to yesterday's as they speak to us so that tomorrow we won't make the same mistakes. One thing that we can learn from yesterday, though, is that we can learn from our mistakes. We can also learn from yesterday's difficulties. I wish I could tell you that as a child of God, you never had to face difficulties or problems, but that's just not true. But I can tell you that God's grace is sufficient for every need. I can tell you that. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, after continuing to suffer physical ailment for a long, long time, he said in 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, God has always been there for us when we needed him the most. And his grace has always been there for us when we need it the most. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and a very present help in trouble. That means he's there right now helping you in trouble. When I look back in the past, I can see that God has always been my strength, and he's always been there with me. And through all the troubles that I've ever faced as a Christian, God has always been right there with me. And sometimes when I was going through it, I didn't realize it, but when I look back, I can see that he was there. And I didn't enjoy some of those things when they were happening, but I know for sure that the Lord never forsook me, he never left me or forsake me. We can learn from yesterday's mistakes. We can learn from yesterday's difficulties. Oh, and there's something else that we can learn from our yesterdays. Remember that second passage that we read there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8? And it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. He was the same yesterday. Yesterday, say, learn from me. All right, another day that speaks to us is not only the day that is behind us yesterday, but also the day that is before us today. Today speaks to us as well. And you say, what does today say to us? Today says, use me wisely. Turn, if you would, over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Yesterday you said, learn from me. Today speaks to us, and today says to us, use me wisely. Philippians chapter 3. Paul talks about how we're supposed to use today wisely. In Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind yesterday, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, one of the things that I've noticed when talking to people is that a lot of people will let guilt and let the devil just keep on whispering in their ear and let guilt eat them alive. For some reason, we'll ask God to forgive us, and we honestly believe that he has, and he has. The Lord says, listen, he said, I'll put your trespass as far as the east is from the west. When you ask God to forgive you, the Lord's going to forgive you, amen? I mean, listen, when you called upon him in salvation and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, the Lord forgave you of all your sins, past, present, future. And when it comes to fellowship's sake, when we mess up, the Lord wants us to confess those sins and ask forgiveness for those sins. And when we do, when we ask forgiveness of those sins, the Lord forgives us of those sins. It very, very plainly tells you that in 1 John 1, okay? But here's the problem is a lot of times that the Lord will forgive us of our sins, but we won't forgive us of our sins. We carry that guilt around with us everywhere we go. Listen, if the Lord's already forgiven you, why aren't you forgiving yourself? Why can't you move on? That's what Paul's saying. Have you ever thought about this? Now think about this. When he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, of all people in the Bible, wouldn't you agree that Paul was one who had to do that? You think about this. You think about what Paul did before he got saved. If you did any of those things, don't tell me about it, okay? But I'm telling you, what Paul did before he got saved is he persecuted Christians. He had Christians locked up, and he had those Christians thrown in jail, and he had some of them put to death. You're talking about somebody who, if he wanted to, he could allow guilt to eat him up. I mean, can you imagine if he's preaching around and all of a sudden he's talking to some of these people and he comes there amongst the disciples and he talks about comes around all these other Christians when he first gets saved and he sees people and he talks to people and all of a sudden he hears a person give his last name. You're like, wait a second, aren't you so and such's boy? Yes. And he thinks to himself, man, I had that guy put to death. Boy, can you imagine that? Can you imagine how he was tempted to feel guilt? But you know what he said? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? Don't let the guilt eat you up. You forget those things and let's move on and let's serve the Lord. Let's move on and do what the Lord wants us to do. Listen, if you've messed up in the past, and you have, we all have, it's time just to move on and start serving the Lord. You can't change yesterday. You can't do it. There's nothing about yesterday you can change. You know, one of the things that I heard a whole lot in the military was the words, it's spilt milk. Once the milk is spilt, it's spilt. You can't go in and spill it. That's the way it is in life. Do you realize the very thought that you had even 2 minutes ago is the thing in the past now? Time moves on. Time moves on. You got to just serve the Lord. Just keep moving, serving the Lord. We got to use our days wisely. That's what today's telling us. Use our days wisely. Now, when I think about today, I think about a day that we are certain of. Now, today, at this moment, is the only portion of time that we can be sure of. And it's the only day, today is the only day that we can actually do anything. But so often we find ourselves looking back in the past and thinking of yesterday and thinking about the things that we could have done, but we can't roll back that time. Yesterday could only live in our memories. And though we can make plans for the future does begin with the day. The poem goes, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hand will stop, at late or early hour. Now, today is so important because each day brings us closer to our last day on this earth. You say, why are you saying this? Because we need to use today wisely. Why? After it's gone, you don't get it back. If you've got somebody to witness to, get it done today. If there's something you need to do for the Lord, get it done today. If there's some sin you need to confess, get it done today. Why? Because after today, it's yesterday. You can't change. You can't go back. You can't go back. There are those today who need to be saved. Today is a great day to get saved. You don't want to put it off because nobody has a promise of tomorrow. Most people think that, you know, when they reach the point of death that they'll be able to call their families to their bedside and you know, read off the wills to them and tell them goodbye. And maybe it'll happen that way. Maybe it won't. We don't know. We'll never know that day comes. That's the reason why 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Don't put it off to tomorrow and don't let today go by without doing it. However, if you're a Christian, there are some things you need to do today as well. Use the day wisely. You say, what can I do to use this day wisely? Well, number one, you could be a blessing to others. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You have an opportunity today to be a blessing to somebody, to do something nice for somebody, to let somebody see Christ in you. Acts 20:25, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Give somebody something. Be a blessing to somebody. Use today to be a blessing to others. I'll tell you another way you can use today wisely, and that is use today to reach the lost. You lost friends, you lost relatives, the people you work with. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, truly, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said that today is the day. We need to take advantage of today. We need to do good things for people. We need to reach lost. That's using the day wisely. Also, we need to use the day to serve the Lord. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, so then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to use today to serve the Lord. We also need to use today to focus on the important things. I mean, really the important things. Not like who wins a championship or who wins a Super Bowl or who's the president and you know what's going on politically. I'm talking about important things. You say, what important things? Like praying, like reading your Bible, like spending your days forgiving people and loving people, focusing more on your witnessing. Today speaks to us and says, use me wisely. Oh, there's something else too that we need to use today for, and that is we need to use today to be thankful for something. Do you remember that verse there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 that we read? It's our second verse. In that verse it said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. Aren't you thankful that Jesus, the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, is the same Jesus who lives today? I mean, aren't you thankful that he hasn't changed? The day that is behind us yesterday says, speak to us. It speaks to us saying, learn from me. The day that's before us today speaks to us, and it says, use me wisely. And then finally, there is the day that is beyond us. That's tomorrow. And tomorrow tells us this, don't count on me. Don't count on me. For the Christian, there are some things that we know will happen in the future. That's a great thing about having your Bible. That's a great thing about that being God's Word, is that we know, listen, we know where we're going to be 1,000 years from today. Amen? If you're saved here tonight, you know where you're going to be 1,000 years from today. Now, you don't know exactly what you'll be doing. You don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But you do know this, you will be in the presence of the Lord. Guaranteed. In fact, I'll even narrow it down. 200 years from now, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Okay, I'll narrow it down even more. 100 years from now, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Isn't it great to know that? Now listen, there are a lot of people today who don't know where they're going to be. There are some people today that if you ask them, if you die tonight, where would you be? And they don't have an answer for you. But if you're saved, you should be able to tell them that. You can say, if I die tonight, I know exactly where I'll be. That's the advantage of having the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God within you to teach you that Bible. Because you do know some things about the future. We also know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to come and get us one of these days. John 14, 1 through 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Every one of us is Christians. We know that one of these days that we're going to be up there in one of those mansions. One of these days we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We know that. Whether death take us there or the rapture take us there, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. But then again, we also know something about the future of the lost. Luke 16 tells us that the lost will lift up their eyes in hell being in torments. But aside from what the Bible tells us about the future, really we don't know anything at all about the future. In fact, of the 3 days that we talked about, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, no day is more uncertain than tomorrow. No day is. That's why Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said this in Proverbs 27:1. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In Luke chapter 12, God even called the person who counts on tomorrow a fool. You can't count on tomorrow. You can't count on it. That is, except for one thing. You remember that one verse over there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, our second verse? It said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We know for sure that the same Jesus we trusted in the past is the same Jesus today and will be the same Jesus tomorrow. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what's happening today, and regardless what may come tomorrow, the one constant that we have as believers is Jesus Christ. He loves us just as much today as he did yesterday, and he'll always love us forever. He doesn't change when things go wrong. He doesn't change what he likes and what he doesn't, what he dislikes. And though many things have changed a lot over the years in our society and our ways of our thinking, I mean, if you really think about it, the way people think today has changed drastically the way they thought 50, 60 years ago. Drastically. The things that people do today, the things that people accept today as being okay, the things that people declare, when people declare that which is wicked good and that which is good wicked, that increases more and more every day. And this world is more upside down today than it's ever been. But Jesus Christ doesn't change at all. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That is the one thing I love about him the most, is the fact that he doesn't change. You know what you have in Jesus Christ. You don't have to wonder if it's going to change from day to day. This Bible tells you what he likes and what he doesn't like. This Bible tells you what he calls a sin and what he doesn't call a sin. And he never changes that. Never changes. Therefore, he's something that you can hang on to. He's someone that you can tell all your troubles to and not have to worry about it. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what I'm thankful for. Hopefully you're thankful for that too. All right, let's go ahead and stop there.